ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3 called Status Quo, Chapter 33 called Activities of Kapila, Text Number 1. Maitreya Uvacha. Evam Nishamya Kapilasya Vacho Janitri. Sakardamasya Daita Kila Devahuti. Visrasta Moha Patalatam Abhipranamya. Tustava Tattva Visayan Kita Siddhi Bhumim. Maitreya Uvacha. Evam Vishamya Kapilasya Vacho Janitri. Sakardamasya Daita Kila Devahuti. Visrasta Moha Patalatam Abhipranamya. Tustava Tattva Visayan Kita Siddhi Bhumim. Maitreya Uvacha. Evam Nishamya Kapilasya Vacho Janitri. Sakardamasya Daita Kila Devahuti. Visrasta Moha Patalatam Abhipranamya. Tustava Tattva Visayan Kita Siddhi Bhumim. Maitreya. Sorry, Maitreya Uvacha.
Maitreya Uvacha.
Maitreya said.
Maitreya said.
Evam.
Thus.
Nishamya.
Having heard.
Kapilasya. Of Lord Kapila.
Vachaha.
The words.
Janitri.
The mother.
Sa.
She.
Kardamasya
of Kardama Muni.
Daita,
the dear wife.
Kila,
namely.
Devahuti,
Devahuti.
Vishrasta,
freed from.
Moha Patala,
the covering of illusion.
Tam,
unto him.
Abhipranamya.
Having offered obeisances.
Tustava.
Recited prayers.
Tattva.
Basic principles.
Visaya.
In the matter of.
Ankita.
The author.
Siddhi.
Of liberation.
Bhumim.
The background.
Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada ki? Sri Maitreya said, I'll read the whole translation, then we can do responsively. Sri Maitreya said, thus Devahuti, the mother of Lord Kapila and wife of Kardama Muni, became freed from all ignorance concerning devotional service and transcendental knowledge. She offered her obeisances unto the Lord, the author of the basic principles of the Sankhya system of philosophy, which is the background of liberation. And she satisfied him with the following verses of prayer. Now let's do translation responsively. Sri Maitreya said,
thus Devahuti,
the mother of Lord Kapila,
and wife of
Kardama Muni,
became freed
from all ignorance
concerning
devotional service
and transcendental knowledge.
She offered her obeisances
unto the Lord,
the author of
the basic principles of
the Sankhya system of philosophy,
which is
the background of
liberation.
And she satisfied him
with the following
verses of prayer. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The system of philosophy enunciated by Lord Kapila before his mother is the background for situation on the spiritual platform. The specific significance of the system of philosophy is stated herein as Siddhi Bhumim. It is the background of salvation. People who are suffering in this material world because they are conditioned by the material energy can easily get freedom from the clutches of matter by understanding the Sankhya philosophy enunciated by Lord Kapila. By this system of philosophy, one can immediately become free, even though one is situated in this material world. That stage is called Jivan Mukti. This means that one is liberated even though one stays with his material body. That happened for Devahuti, the mother of Lord Kapila. And she therefore satisfied the Lord by offering her prayers. Anyone who understands the basic principle of Sankhya philosophy is elevated in devotional service and becomes fully Krishna conscious or liberated even within this material world. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I see quite a few new faces here. Those who are new, or maybe I'm new because I don't come. Hands up, please. Who haven't seen me before? Those who haven't seen me before. Hiya, don't be shy. I'm just as afraid as you. Quite a few. Have you all heard Srimad Bhagavatam before? No? All right, okay. So don't worry, you're not lost, because I also don't know Bhagavatam. So we'll try to go through the very basics. We have come to chapter 33 of the third canto. This is the last chapter in the whole of the canto. We have covered 32 chapters. Yes? So what have we covered? What have we learned? Now, Burijan Maharaj is, when he starts his classes, he often says, so does anyone remember anything from what we have studied? Does anyone remember anything? So today, yes.
Sankhya philosophy can lead to liberation.
Yes, very good. Anyone else? Yes, good. So today I thought, because we are starting the first text of this closing chapter, I thought we'll just do a quick summary review of what has happened, especially not the whole 32 chapters, just especially about the pastime about Kardama Muni, Devahuti, Lord Kapila. And as we go through this pastime briefly, we will try to pick up the lessons that Devahuti, Kardama Muni, and Lord Kapila are teaching us. Okay, so what are the
Bhagavad Gita has got 5 subject matters. It's a very easy question. What are the 5 subject matters in Bhagavad Gita? Jiva, Kala, Karma. I got 3. 2 more. Ishvara and?
Prakriti.
Material nature. Right? So there are 5 main subject matters in Bhagavad Gita. What is the common link in all these 5? What's the common link? Yes, Krishna. But underlying that is, the common link is bhakti. Bhakti governs all these 5. What is bhakti? Devotion. Sorry? Yes. Yes, that's how Srila Rupa Goswami defined pure bhakti. Anya bilasita sunyam, jnana karma di anavritam. Then what? Anukulyena Krishna nushilam bhaktir uttama. What does that verse mean? Anya bilasita sunyam, what does that mean? Devoid of any other desires. Jnana karmadi anavrtam, what does that mean?
Unmixed with karma upyana.
Yes, no impersonalism, no attachment to fruitive activities. Anukulyena, what does that mean?
Favorable.
Okay. Thinking of Krishna in a continuous, uninterrupted, unalloyed way, favorably. And that will lead us to pure bhakti. And this whole journey of starting from where we are, bhakti has 3 aspects. Sambandha, abhideya, prayojana. Prayojana is the goal. Sambandha is the relationship. So the relationship is connected through the process called abhideya. What is our goal? To get Krishna Prem, okay, and to go back to Godhead, to the spiritual world. And so, that being the goal, and Mother Devahuti, as described in this purport here, that liberation happened to her in this material body that she had, in this material world. So even though she was in the material body, she got the liberation. Liberation doesn't mean impersonalism, not nirvana as the Buddhists or the other impersonalists believe. It is having that personal relationship with God in the spiritual world. Okay. And so the pastime begins with, in the beginning of Satya Yuga. Yeah. Lord Brahma instructs Kardama Muni to go and beget children to increase population in the material world. What is the process of God realization in Satya Yuga?
Meditation.
What is the process of God realization in Treta Yuga? Sacrifices, yagya. Yeah. What is the process of God realization in Dwapara Yuga? Deity worship. Okay. What is the process of God realization in Kali Yuga? Chanting the holy name. And what do we chant?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, Lord Brahma instructs Kardama Muni, says, go beget children, increase the population. And Kardama Muni goes to the banks of river Saraswati and he meditates for 10,000 years. Okay, performs austerities. And Lord Vishnu becomes very pleased with his austerities, his performance of devotion in meditation. And Lord Vishnu appears, gives him darshan. Lord Vishnu appears on the shoulders of his vimana, his carrier, who is Garuda. So Lord Vishnu is there in his four-handed form. He's in the sky. He's on the shoulders of Lord of Garuda. And he is actually looking very beautiful.
Very, very beautiful with his dark tresses of hair bordering his face. He is wearing this spotless yellow garment, wearing this beautiful garland of white flowers. And he's simply beautifully effulgent. Picture that. Then he gives this darshan to Kardama Muni. Kardama Muni then says, "My Lord, I have foolishly meditated for taking shelter of you. But at the same time, I also have this desire to beget children, to do this duty for my father as instructed. My father, Lord Brahma, has instructed I have to beget children." So then, Lord Vishnu says, "Don't worry, I already know your mind. I already made the necessary arrangements. Day after tomorrow, Swayambhuv Manu, the emperor, and his wife Shatarupa, they're going to come to your ashram with their daughter, who is Devahuti." And then you actually accept her as your wife, and through her, you will beget 9 children, 9 daughters, and they will then contribute to increasing population. And sure enough, the day after tomorrow, Swayambhuv Manu and Shatarupa arrive to meet Kardama Muni. So Kardama Muni is a Brahmana, very exalted Brahmana. Swayambhuv Manu is, of course, Kshatriya in nature because he's a king. So between them, when they meet, there is this heavy glorification, beautiful glorification about how the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas protect each other. Okay. Then Swayambhuv Manu hands over daughter Devahuti to Kardama Muni. They get married. Devahuti then starts serving Kardama Muni very nicely. She does all the duties as a wife. Simple living, high thinking. She treats Kardama Muni with all respect. Okay, and nice speech. And all that, because she's so strict in her service, she becomes skinny, emaciated. Then one day she approaches Kardama Muni and says, "My Lord, we got married for the purpose of increasing population. We have to fulfill that duty." So then Kardama Muni prepares for that to happen by, through his mystic powers, he manifests this multi-storied flying mansion, palace, very opulent. It can travel anywhere at will and can produce, fulfill all desires. So both of them enter that palace and they travel all over the universe, going through all the different planetary systems for 100 years, which just passes in the blink of an eye because we are talking about Satya Yuga. And Kardama Muni expands into 9. Then they have union. 9 daughters are born. After the 9 daughters are born, Kardama Muni then thinks of leaving home. But Devahuti, Mother Devahuti, says, "After our 9 daughters are married, they leave. Who's going to look after me? Okay? You got to make some arrangements for me." And then Kardama Muni remembers what Lord Vishnu had told him, that he would appear, the Lord would appear as Lord Kapila in the womb of Mother Devahuti. Then knowing that, Kardama Muni stays on, doesn't leave home. And after many years, Lord Kapila, he enters Mother Devahuti's womb. But he doesn't manifest as yet. He's just entered the womb. Then the 9 daughters, they get married off to 9 sages. The 9 sages are Marichi, Atri, Angira, Pulastya, Pulaha, Kratu. Then we go Bhrigu, Vasishta, and Atharva. So the daughters are married off to the 9 sages and they go off to fulfill their duties of increasing population. So now, who's left? Kardama Muni, Devahuti, and Lord Kapila, he appears. Now he manifests. Kardama Muni approaches
Lord Kapila and says, "My Lord, I fulfill my debt to my father. I fulfill his instructions of increasing population. I now want to take the renounced order of life. And I want to wander around, just absorbed in thinking of you." Now, it can be quite strange. The Lord is just right there physically in front of Kardama Muni. And here he says, "I want to leave you, I want to go wander around and think of you." Prabhupada explains this point. Prabhupada says, just for us to understand that it is important to uphold Vedic principles, where the householder, when his children are all grown up, when the children have left home, they have taken responsibilities. The children have taken responsibility. The householder has to leave home, especially as the age of 50 in the Vedic times. So, Kardama Muni is upholding that principle and leaving home. So now, who's left behind? Lord Kapila and only? Mother Devahuti, only the two of them. Alright? So one day, in Bindu Sarovara, that's the place that they were staying, Mother Devahuti approaches Lord Kapila. And she makes this wonderful declaration, which pretty much is a pivotal point in this whole pastime. She declares, "Oh my Lord, I'm very tired of the disturbances caused by my material senses. And because of my enjoyment in sense gratification, I have fallen into an abyss of ignorance." It's a very powerful declaration, which actually is the beginning of this Sankhya philosophy system. Philosophy, knowledge. Because what happens? Up to that point, the relationship is between mother and son. When there is this awakening, saying that, or acknowledging that I'm not getting anywhere with my life, something needs to change. I need to turn to God. Until that awakening arises in our heart, God realization will not come to us. So we got to remember that. That has to come from within our heart. It's not that we got to wait for God to give that to us. We got to awaken to the fact that we need help. So at that moment, she accepts that material sambandha between mother and son now becomes a sambandha, a relationship of guru shishya. Devahuti is the shishya, and who's the guru now? Lord Kapila. And we see this also in Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna told Lord Krishna, "Please drive the chariot between the two armies." And then this is before the battle of Kurukshetra. Then he sees on both sides all the kinsmen, his uncles, his relatives, his brothers. Then he says to Krishna, "What is the point of me doing this battle? What's the point of me killing all these people and winning a kingdom without them? I'm just going to create irreligion." Okay, irreligion, unwanted progeny. So I don't want to fight. He's all overstricken by grief. He is confused, perplexed. He doesn't know what to do. A sense of helplessness. He surrenders. Shishyasteham sadimam tvam prapannam. Shishyasteham, I am your disciple, he says. Shadimam, instruct me. Tvam prapanna, I am surrendered unto you. So Devahuti is showing that mood of surrender here to Lord Kapila. And similarly, we see in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna also displays that mood of surrender. And it is that mood of surrender that is the beginning for us to be put on a platform to start devotional service to approach God. It is like a prerequisite to start devotional service, the mood of surrender. And surrender means we need faith. We need faith in God. We need to believe there is God. We need to believe there is Krishna. A couple of months ago, we had this National ISKCON AGM here in Melbourne. All the managers from all the temples, they came. And we were talking about various, of course, national things and all that. Then the Brisbane temple president and his vice president, they spoke to me. They spoke to me and they are planning to actually build a temple in Brisbane as well. So they're talking to me how to actually obtain money, structure a loan, apply for bank loan and how to raise funds and this and that. And Aniruddha Prabhu was in that vicinity. He made this interesting statement. He said, guys, or something to this effect. Okay, the point is this. He said, you know what? When I signed the contract for this Melbourne kitchen building, I had no money. That, interestingly to me, at that time when he made that comment, was his display of faith. Faith in Krishna, that when we actually surrender in a mood of wanting to please Krishna, we do it with faith, Krishna arranges. And at that time, true enough, we are talking about that building contract for this kitchen. And I was there when Aniruddha Prabhu signed in his office. All we had at that time was the grant money from the government. Not enough to actually complete the construction, the whole project. But the builder wanted a contract signed up before they can get things moving. So at that time, we had not done the fundraising and all that. Okay? So Aniruddha Prabhu signed that contract without money, putting his faith in Krishna. Mood of surrender, faith, belief in Krishna. And it means, when we surrender, surrender means what? We put up our hands. Okay, we put up our hands, we say we surrender. That means there must be humility from the heart. Humility means no resistance. Trinat api sunichena. Amanina maanidena. More humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree. Yeah. And this humility we see here in Devahuti. This humility we see in Arjuna. And we also see in Gaura Lila, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he attempted to go to Vrindavan. He was transcendentally deceived by Lord Nityananda. He ended up in Advaita Acharya's house in Shantipur. Then he made a second attempt later on when he went back to Puri. He made a second attempt to go to Vrindavan. So he passed Bengal, then he came to a village called Ramakeli. There, in Ramakeli, he met two personalities called Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik, who are more famously known as Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, respectively. In Ramakeli, it was the first meeting between Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They first approached Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur and said, we'd like to take shelter of Lord Chaitanya. With straws between their teeth, in all humility, they approached Lord Chaitanya and paid dandavat obeisances over and over again. And they spoke, "My dear Lord, we are totally unqualified to approach you. We are more fallen than who? Jagai and Madai. Why? Because we are serving a Muslim king, Nawab Hussain Shah. We are living life practically as Muslims. We are inimical toward women. We are inimical toward cows. We are supposed to be protecting all this. But being Muslims, we are not doing all this. So we are totally more fallen than Jagai and Madai. We are not worthy of approaching you. Please accept us. Give us shelter in all humility." Of course, they are exalted personalities. And for our purpose, this pastime is taking place. Okay. Who is Sanatan Goswami in Goloka Vrindavan? What's his true identity? Rupa Manjari. Sanatan Goswami is Rati Manjari. Okay. In Goloka Vrindavan, Radharani is assisted by many, many gopis. Chief among the gopis is Lalita. Okay. And the gopis in turn are assisted by many, many manjaris who are younger than them. Maidservants. Chief among the maidservants is Srila Rupa Goswami. Rupa Manjari. Rupa Manjari advented in the material world for our own benefit in the form of Srila Rupa Goswami. So therefore, he is the chief among all the Goswamis also. That's their exalted position. And here they are displaying their humility. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, embraced them, accepted them, gave them shelter. And when we talk about humility, we also see that in the Lord Himself, who was the chariot driver for Arjuna? Krishna. That's actually a very humbling position, isn't it? The Lord, the cause of all causes, Sarva Karna Karnam, has taken the position of Partha Sarathi, chariot driver. And we see that also in Gaura Lila, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took a humble position to Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya was lamenting that Lord Chaitanya, he is the Lord of all causes. And here, he is subordinate to me. He is playing a more humble role than me. It cannot be. I cannot accept this. And therefore, to right the wrong, to make that balance of equation right, where he wants the Lord to take back his authoritative position, Advaita Acharya has this pastime of preaching impersonalism from Yoga Vashistha. Lord Chaitanya hears this, that Advaita Acharya is preaching impersonalism, and he then not only chastises, he gets very angry. "You prayed, Advaita, you prayed, you called me. I came to give devotional service, to teach personalism, and now you are preaching impersonalism." He beat Advaita Acharya. It's all pastime, of course. Advaita Acharya was totally rejoicing. He was happy. Because now the Lord is displaying his authoritative position and the equation has been corrected. So we see humility in the Lord. We see humility in Devahuti. We see humility in Arjuna. We see humility in our Acharyas. We see humility in Prabhupada. of November 1974, Prabhupada finished translating the Chaitanya Charitamrita in Juhu, Bombay. In his concluding words to that masterpiece, he displays his humility. He writes, "If I've achieved anything in completing this translation, this materially impossible work, it is only because of the mercy of my spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj. I am an insignificant and incompetent person," he writes. It is only because of the mercy of my spiritual master. He wrote that famous poem when he was traveling on the Jaladutta to Krishna, and he signs off as what? Insignificant? Beggar. That's the mode of humility that Prabhupada takes. Following in how the teaching is coming down. And Prabhupada's disciples also display this mode of humility. We see so many sannyasis coming here to Melbourne, and we learn from them, we see them, we watch them. I heard my spiritual master, he said one time, I am simply trying to be a devotee. As recent as last month, June, Burijan Maharaj was here, right? Was it June? Yes. July, yeah? June, yeah? So one morning, while Maharaj was coming in to give class, one morning I was doing altar service and I just went out the altar room door, and at the corner where Maharaj was just entering, coming in, and I just went out. So it was a chance meeting, well, chance arranged by Krishna. And because it was unexpected, I paid my obeisances, then I asked this very mundane question to Maharaj. How are you, Maharaj? Two words, Maharaj answers. Bhakti nahi. Such humility. How exalted he is, we see from the quality of lessons he is giving us from the Bhagavatam, from the Vedic scriptures when he speaks. And here he utters bhakti nahi, obviously saying that he is coming in the mood of his guru, Srila Prabhupada, and the parampara. From a different level altogether. So humility runs all the way from the top, all the way down to our present day ISKCON gurus. That begs the question, where do we stand with our humility? We got different degrees of displaying our humility. When we walk in through the main gate into the temple compound, immediately we become humble. We become a little bit shorter. You know why? We droop our shoulders, our head goes down, and we give a lot of exercise to our elbow. Hare Krishna Prabhu, Hare Krishna Prabhu, Hare Krishna. That is what we want to be, sincerely from the heart. But our true level of humility is when we are away from the temple. When we are associating with people outside the temple. For example, when we go to work, I'm the chief financial officer working in this company. They have given me a car with the big word Club Warehouse by the side of it. You know who I'm talking about. Okay. And I get this position. I tell people what to do. Okay. The humility is disappearing. The chest now is like coming out. False ego takes main stage. Right? Position. Position can do this to our consciousness, being attached to positions. Temporary things. Crossways manager, Gopal's manager, kitchen manager, cleaning manager, where are they here? Okay. The word manager somehow plays some part in their consciousness. They display humility. But somewhere within the consciousness, I'm a manager. Humility means our external display must be the same as how we feel and think inside. We cannot hide from Krishna. Then there's another level of humility when we come home from work, especially householders. You enter the house, your chest is even more broader. I'm the lord of the house. Okay? We don't enter the house, Hare Krishna, my dear wife. Okay? We don't give exercise to our elbows. Hare Krishna, my dear children. Can I wash your feet today? We don't do that when we reach home. Mataji is laughing, you know what I mean. Yeah.
The false ego takes that top prime position. No more humility. So, which is the true person in us which is showing that true humility? The one who comes to temple, the one who goes to work, the one who is at home. How do we cultivate this, or how do we develop this one mood of sincere humility? Do service. Do service. Starting with chanting. For example, serve breakfast. Serve prasadam. It may seem that it's a simple act of just serving prasadam, breakfast time. But that devotional service gives a lot of realization if we approach that service with the right mood. It is not about ladling out some khichdi and putting onto the plate of a devotee who we are serving. Because we are not qualified to serve. We got no qualification. We are simply an instrument through the mercy of the Lord and through Guru, where we are given the opportunity to actually distribute that Lord's mercy. But that service that we do to distribute that Lord's mercy, in turn, the Lord reciprocates by giving that mercy back to us, to the server. Serving prasadam is like madhukari. Profession of the bumblebees. But the sannyasis, they have, in the Vedic times, they have left home. They go from house to house, begging for food, little by little. Serving prasadam is the server, the mood of the server should be, I'm actually receiving mercy by serving each devotee here. I'm not qualified to give the mercy, but from a selfish point of view, I'm receiving mercy. So which is better, to be seated to receive prasad or to pick up the ladle and serve? From a selfish point of view, serving because you get more mercy. Right? So, and these are just prerequisites. We haven't even started our devotional service. This is basic human quality that we need to have to put ourselves on a platform where we can start devotional service. Faith, surrender, humility, determination. We need determination. Prabhupada was so determined. We've read the pastime as to how determined he was to please Krishna. He fought for Krishna in the Juhu temple, the land project. How difficult it was. Yeah? And this mood, this quality of determination, Prabhupada actually had it in him from his young days, from when he was a child. In his pastimes, Prabhupada has documented his, and his disciples have actually documented. Prabhupada said when he was young, he would go with his mother to the marketplace. And of course, young children, just like any young children where today, you see, they are busy with fidget spinners. Okay? Many fidget spinners. Okay? Prabhupada wanted a toy. Okay? At the marketplace, he asked his mother, he saw a toy gun. So he cried and his mother bought him one gun. So he said, no, I want two. Why do you want two? I got two hands. And his mother said, no, you can't have two. Then he threw a tantrum right there in the marketplace. Children, no. And Prabhupada, in this pastime, he actually shows a scar on his head where he says, you see this, this is actually from the time when I was actually clamoring for these two toy guns. That's how determined he was. And that quality carried through all the way in his whole life where he was determined to please Krishna and spread Krishna consciousness by chanting Hare Krishna, starting a whole worldwide movement by chanting from under a tree. Where is our humility? So, back to connecting to this pastime where Mother Devahuti has just revealed her position to Lord Kapila. So this Guru-Shishya relationship, Sambandha, has begun. And now Lord Kapila starts off by saying, "My dear mother, you have expressed your uncontaminated desire for self-realization. Now I shall reveal to you the ancient system of yoga which establishes the conditioned soul with the Supreme." At the spiritual level, the soul has an eternal relationship, Sambandha, eternal relationship with the Supreme. And that is the position of a servant. Jivere Swarupo Hoy Krishnere Nitya Das. That is the position of the soul. Servant. And then he goes on to actually start off there by saying, yeah, and actually, before he actually starts, once this relationship is established, something important needs to happen before real knowledge can come down. Before real knowledge about absolute truth can be revealed to us, Krishna has to make arrangement for a bona fide spiritual master to come into our lives to connect with that conditioned soul. It is only through Krishna that a bona fide spiritual master comes. Brahmande Brahmite Kono Bhagivan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Paye Bhakti Lata. Brahmande means what? Universe. Brahmite means what? Wandering. Kono Bhagivan Jeev means what? Some fortunate soul. Guru Krishna Prasad means what? Mercy of Guru in Krishna. What is this mercy of Guru in Krishna really? The mercy of Krishna is that he sends a bona fide guru, seeing the sincerity of the devotee who is attempting, not even a devotee, sincerity of the jiva who wants to become a devotee. Krishna mercifully sends a guru. So it doesn't mean Krishna is selective. Krishna is waiting, just like here, Lord Kapila was patiently waiting for Devahuti to actually initiate. So similarly, unless and until we initiate our desire to seek self-realization, Krishna is not going to act. So, with that sincerity expressed by the devotee, Krishna sends a bona fide guru. And what is the prasad from the guru? Guru gives the gift, the opportunity to do devotional service. The opportunity to do devotional service. And that starts with the Bhakti Lata Beach, the seed of the creeper of devotional service being planted in the heart. Our problem is we got more than one beach in our heart. Yes, the Bhakti Lata Beach is there. But in addition to the Bhakti Lata Beach, we got the Anya Bilash Beach, the other desires beach. When we come to the temple, we water the Bhakti Lata Beach. When we leave the temple, we water the Anya Bilash Beach. There is this conflict going in the heart. Sometimes we give attention to the Bhakti Lata Beach. Sometimes we shift, we give attention to the other desires beach. In Prayag, after the first meeting between Lord Chaitanya, Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, for 10 days in Prayag, Lord Chaitanya, 10 consecutive days, he revealed so many instructions to Srila Rupa Goswami. Starting right from the basic that we are not the body, we are spirit soul. And because of the sincerity of Srila Rupa Goswami, Lord Chaitanya reveals more and more and more real knowledge, more and more and more real knowledge. Takes Srila Rupa Goswami all the way up to the ultimate truth about absolute truth. Ultimate level of absolute truth. Krishna Tattva, Bhakti Tattva, Rasa Tattva, Pranta, Sabhashika Ila, Bhagavat Siddhanta. Lord Chaitanya revealed everything about Krishna Tattva, truth about Krishna. Lord Chaitanya revealed everything about Bhakti Tattva, everything about Rasa Tattva, the taste of the conjugal mellows culminating in the conjugal mellows between Radha and Krishna. And he revealed everything, the Siddhanta in Bhagavatam. What is the Siddhanta? Krishna's two Bhagavan. All starting from the sincerity of the devotee. So here Lord Kapila also then, knowing his mother's sincerity, starts revealing this ultimate truth by first establishing the position of the jiva, starting with matter. Matter is Krishna's external energy, the Bahiranga Shakti. Spiritual world is Krishna's internal potency, which is the Antaranga Shakti. We, marginal energy, the conditioned jivas, Tatastha Shakti. So, if we use our consciousness to be attached to Krishna's inferior energy, material nature, then we serve Maya. But if we use that same consciousness to attach to the spiritual energy, the Antaranga Shakti, then we get liberation. Then we reach that position of being on the platform of Bhakti, Siddhi Bhumi. So it talks about the material elements. And finally, it goes on. Talks about earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, and how the spirit soul is actually transcendent, is transcendental to material nature. It is spiritual. The spirit soul is spiritual by nature. And its rightful place, the sambandha, is to be in the spiritual world with Krishna, serving Krishna. Prabhupada says, actually he said it here in Melbourne, as soon as you offer yourself to be enjoyed by Krishna and serve according to his order, then you are in the spiritual world. Being the Tatastha Shakti, you can choose to be whether you want to be in the spiritual world or in the material world. Your desire. He said this temple is not Melbourne, it is Vrindavan. It's a dham. And dham is not to be enjoyed, dham is to be served. Every day we come to Melbourne Temple, I don't know whether we come to actually serve the dham or we come to actually associate with our friends here. Many of us have made friends here. Association is not being in the physical company. That's not real association. Real association is hearing and chanting about Krishna in the association of devotees. So then Mother Devahuti says, okay, you're telling me about all this process, how I can transcend material nature. But, and then you're, how do I practice this devotional service? She asks him a question. Mother Devahuti is even teaching us how to actually ask proper questions to develop our Krishna consciousness. Before asking questions, we need to first ask within ourselves, if I ask this question, am I going to become more Krishna conscious? And therefore, I want to ask this question to get the answer. And when I get the answer, will I apply that knowledge in developing my Krishna consciousness? Many times we ask questions in class.
I don't know why we ask. But yes, we want to probably sincerely develop our Krishna consciousness. But do we actually apply the knowledge that we get? Madhavuti received this knowledge from, Mother Devahuti received this knowledge from Lord Kapila. Lord Kapila says, when the mind is purified by the system of yoga, then meditate in devotional service on the personal form of the Lord. And he says, when we take darshan of the deities, don't just look at the deities in one go. Meditate in devotional service on the form of the Lord means start from the Lord's lotus feet, meditating on the marks that he's got on the sole of his feet, moving up to his toenails, which are so effulgent, which dazzled the four Kumaras at the gates of Vaikuntha. Meditate on his shanks, his legs, his hips, his thighs, his navel from which Lord Brahma came, his chest, his broad chest. There is this tuft of white hair on his chest called Srivatsa. Meditate on his neck. Meditate on his beautiful lotus face, his lotus petal eyes, reddish eyes, his arching eyebrows which can captivate Cupid himself, herself. Soft lotus lips. And he's wearing all these opulent paraphernalia. He's dressed in yellow garments, spotless yellow silk. He's got all these golden bracelets, armlets, golden crown. Meditate on the form of the Lord like that. Then Mother Devahuti applied that knowledge. Applying that knowledge, she reached Vaikuntha. Later on in this chapter, we will see how she actually leaves the body. The material elements of her body actually melted. They flowed into the holiest of the rivers. And she actually goes to Vaikuntha planet, and a specific planet there is Kapila Vaikuntha. And she goes there to associate with her son, Lord Kapila, in the ras of mother. And Lord Kapila himself, he winds up his pastime by going northeast towards the Himalayas, and then he traces the course of the Ganga, comes all the way back down to the confluence of the Ganga and the ocean near Bengal. And there, the ocean gives him residence, and he actually is residing there in trance to this day. Such a glorious way to leave the body. Starting with the sambandha, knowing the prayojana, going through the abhideya, the process of devotional service, leading up to that final moment where we are on our deathbed, like Lord Bhishma was lying on the bed of arrows, and in his last moment before leaving his body, he had that wonderful, glorious opportunity to have the personal darshan of Lord Krishna next to him, surrounded by the exalted Pandavas, the rishis, the kings. How nice it would be for us at the last moment when we are drawing our last breath. Ante kale chamam eva smaran mutva kalevaram yaha prayati samadbhavam was the last verse. Yati nasti atra samshayaha. And whoever at the time of quitting his body remembers me alone at once attains my abode. How nice it would be at the time of we exhaling our last breath, we can associate with Krishna. How nice it would be that we can, like Lord Bhishma, remain transfixed on the Lord that last moment. Everything that we do in our devotional journey, our life, it all ends up with that last moment as to what we think about. All our whole journey of practicing devotional service, of practicing Krishna consciousness,
comes down to that last minute, last second, microsecond as to who or what we think about at the time of leaving the body. Prabhupada says, this life is the preparation for our next life. So it's all about how we associate and prepare ourselves for that last moment. Because end of the day, it is our individual journey at that point. Right now we got lots of association. But when it comes to that final moment, it is between that individual jiva and Krishna. At that time we want to be in a position where we are surrounded by all the help we can get. So we got to position ourselves, develop ourselves in devotional service to the point where we can have that glorious moment where we are surrounded by devotees to help us take that journey. Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama Eva Kevalam. No other way, no other way, no other way but to chant the holy name of the Lord, which is
Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Questions, comments? Yep, Prabhu.
Thank you for the wonderful class. My question is that how do we see Lord's mercy in each and every situation of our life and simultaneously increase our faith and surrender in that situation?
The question is, how do we see the Lord's mercy
in each and every situation?
In each and every situation. Okay, first is, how do we see the Lord's mercy? The very fact that we are here today is the Lord's mercy. Later on in this chapter, you would read that Mother Devahuti gives wonderful prayers to Lord Kapila. And in the prayers, she actually glorifies a devotee. For us to be here today, as devotees, where we are having the opportunity to chant the holy name, where she says, a person, even a dog eater, a chandala, even if he chants the holy name once, he is worshipable. And to come to the platform, the position of being able to chant the holy name in this lifetime, in our previous lifetimes, we have gone through all sacrifices, we have performed all Vedic ceremonies, we have read all the scriptures, we have bathed in all the holy rivers. The following verses coming up in this chapter will elaborate that. That is our position. We are here today. That is the Lord's mercy already. So what do we do with that mercy? Serve with sincerity and in a mood of surrender. Answers your question? Time's up. Yeah, Prabhu.
Quick one. Thanks for giving me a chance. You said something being a server and the one being served. And you said the one who is serving is selfish. Is selfish a negative thing? Because there is something beautiful about being selfish too.
When you are taking a selfish position to please Krishna, it's not negative. Please Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.